أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. We were trying to go over some of the concepts, some of the teachings that we have in Islam to help us arrive at the objective of the holy month of Ramadan, the month that we are supposed to fast in, and the objective of fasting, according to the verse of the Holy Quran, is that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may be able to become God-fearing and pious. In order to avoid sin, Islam has many instructions. A lot of times, we end up committing sins and not being able to avoid sin because we have not followed the instructions of Islam. This is a big problem that we have. One of these instructions is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. The halal that I have provided for you, the food, the drinks, all the other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered halal, when that stamp is put on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is tayyib, it is good for you, it has blessings for you. Of course, if you use it in the way that He has approved of it. He didn't create it with that approval for you not to use it. If we avoid it, at times the reason why we avoid it is a shaitanic reason, it's from shaitan. The thought has come from shaitan to avoid halal, not for our sake. He may even use very religious language when he whispers in our ear, but the objective is to get us to commit sin. To get us to cause others sometimes, God forbid, to commit sins. In regards to our children, in regards to ourselves, God forbid, we use language that seems to be religious, but in reality, it is only to serve the purpose of shaitan. One of those areas that we have halal and we avoid for wrong reasons that causes us, our children, to fall into sin is marriage. Being with the opposite gender, which is a desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in us, an attraction that He has put in us. And God forbid if anybody takes the Christian view on this and thinks that that attraction is wrong and it's bad, and if you can, you're supposed to avoid it as much as possible. That's a very, very wrong understanding, brothers and sisters. That's one of the most satanic thoughts that has come to the mind of human beings that are religious. You can see kind of the results of that. The scholars, the Christian scholars, are supposed to be avoiding marriage and being married to women, the result of that has been the results that you're seeing on TV every once in a while. What has happened in the UK, where so many young children have been sexually abused by these priests, God forbid, and ayadu billah. It's a result of banning marriage for the religious people. So many illegitimate and clearly wrong activities that have happened because this has been made illegal. The same thing happens to us. Now, I didn't expand on this, and I'm not going to. It's one of those taboo ideas, but I'm going to break that taboo just with a couple of words. One of those areas that we create a problem for ourselves is by us making temporary marriage seem like a sin, or even worse than a sin. It is something that we are doing, and it's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not from the Ahlul Bayt. It is us creating problems for ourselves and causing either ourselves, our communities, our children to get involved with sin. That is our problem. This is shaitan. Shaitan has created this culture amongst us using religious etiquettes to put down the interaction between the opposite genders and limiting that to permanent marriage. And even there we have problems, which I can't get into right now because it's kind of off topic. Marriage, brothers and sisters, is one of those very important ones. We create a barrier. We prevent people, ourselves or others, from getting married, and we create problems for ourselves or others. We said Islam very clearly, I want to make this clear, there were some questions asked about this. Islam makes it very, very, very clear that marriage at an early age, as soon as we are at the age of puberty or even earlier for females, for the sisters, before physical puberty, we were reading the hadith, or we mentioned that there are a hadith, a number of them that say that is encouraged, that is a blessing, it is a value, it is a virtue, it is recommended Islamically. But then we said there are ideas, sometimes there are things that happen, obstacles that are legitimate ones. That's how the dynamics of the Islamic legal system work, and that's what makes it applicable and able for it to be practiced and implemented anywhere in the world, at any time and under all circumstances. It's a very beautiful system. The more you understand how the jurisprudence of Islam works, what the rulings of Islam are, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to live our lives, the more clear it becomes that this religion is definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the instructions are such that can help us throughout time all the way until the day of judgment. There are certain things that happen, there are certain circumstances that we may be put in that would be considered obstacles legitimately. We mentioned one as an example, and I don't want this to be misunderstood. The idea that the legal system in the United States does not allow people to get married before the age of 18, that was just an example, okay, of why people are not getting married here. That is an example. It wasn't the only example. We wanted to expand on this. There are a few other reasons why people avoid getting married sometimes themselves. I hear parents telling me, sometimes we have an opposite problem. Parents come to me and tell me, you know, I think my daughter's ready for marriage, or I think my son is ready for marriage, and they don't want to get married. Now, it's a little more rare, and it's not as common as having it the other way around, where the child, the youth, believes that they're ready for marriage, and they're looking, and the parents are not looking, and they don't agree with that. Usually it's like this, but sometimes it's the other way around. For youth, I want to make it clear again that it is valuable, it is a virtue, it is Islamically our, in a way, responsibility to get married earlier. If you don't get married early and you think you're going to get married later on, it's going to become more and more and more difficult. Finding a spouse is going to become difficult. Some of the sisters have not gotten married. They're even like in their early 20s, 22, 23, 24, and they're thinking that either themselves or their parents that they're going to get married later on. The later it gets, brothers and sisters, and especially sisters, the more difficult it is going to become, because most guys are looking for younger girls, okay? That's what usually people are looking for. If the girl is 25, there's going to be a less of an opportunity for her to get married. If she's older than that, it's going to become less and less and less until, you know, I have a number of very, very good sisters that I know of, and they're around 30 or a little over 30, and they've never been married in the past. They're very religious, but they can't find anyone that's going to come for them. Okay, it's very difficult. Always keep that in mind. If you yourself think that you're going to get married later on, know that it's going to become more and more difficult, and you will regret not getting married earlier. You will definitely regret not getting married earlier. And for the parents as well, try to be fair to your children and try to get them married off earlier. But we're not trying to, I want to make this clear as well, we're not trying to give the impression that we are telling people, look, try to find a legal loophole to try to get your daughters married at age 9. Alright, if anybody's gotten that impression from my words, that's not what I've tried to say. What I'm trying to say is that let's accept that early marriage, even as early as that, is in itself a good thing. We may have obstacles today, some of them legitimate, some of them not, that may postpone that. But let's not brush that aside and think that it's not a good thing, because there's consequences to that. It's a good thing to get married. Now we're talking about some of the obstacles that are put in the way of marriage. One of them was education. I emphasize, brothers and sisters, there are people that have experienced this. Even people that didn't go to the Hauza, as I said, because I've explained kind of my own experience. I studied, I got married when I was 20. I studied after that. The level of education that I got, when I compare before and after marriage, it's incomparable. More than double the amount of material that I was able to take in and learn after marriage compared to before marriage. You don't want to accept that, that's in the Hauza, that's somewhere else, okay, whatever. That's your choice. I know people that have gone through, brothers and sisters, that have gone through the education system here, they've gone to universities, and they got married before they went to university, brother and sister. And instead of being in their own little apartments with a roommate, they were with their spouse, okay? Boyfriend or girlfriend in the real sense, in the halal sense of the word, okay? They were living together. They went through that education, they became doctors. They were able to have a very, very prosperous family, and they didn't commit any sins. It is doable. Don't let shaitan get that in your head. But what I wanted to expand on and say is, all right, let's say I can't do it in the same span of time. If I want to study and I want to get married, I don't see how that's going to work. Why? Because, okay, you say that you can study and be married and it's not going to take any time off of your schedule. That's only for people that their parents can support them. That's true. We're going to be talking about financial support a little bit as well. That's true to an extent. If a person does not have anybody to support them, obviously if they want to get married, they have to support themselves. That means you got to get a job. Now obviously if you don't have anybody to support, you're probably going to be working anyway. Okay? If you stick to the bare minimum standards of life, you're going to be able to manage that life as a student and work as well. But the point that I'm trying to raise on education itself, you may say that this is going to take a longer period of time to study. Or I would say even for some, if they get married at an earlier age, that education is just not possible. Just hypothetically, I don't think that's doable. I mean, I don't think that's the case. I think that people can study. I'm sure that people can study, unless they don't want to study. Yeah, I know people that have been dropouts from university. They got married and they left it. But it wasn't because of marriage. Don't blame it on that. They were not studious. They were not serious. Okay. Let's just say, hypothetically, someone cannot. It's either marriage and work and dealing with that or studying. I ask you, you have two options here. Weigh them. Use your intellect. One option is get your education, become a doctor, become an engineer, become whatever you want to get in your education. That's on one hand. What's the cost of that? Committing sins. Don't think we're not going to commit sins. We're mentioning this in this context. Most youth get involved with some level of sin if they don't get married. Some of them a lot more, some of them a little less, but there is sin involved there. The consequence that you have to pay is sins. And on the other hand, you don't get your education, but you're clean. You don't commit any sins. Okay. Which one are we going to take? Probably we're going to say, oh, it's worth it. Take the education. Even when we know that. Because look, a lot of us should know that. If we don't know that, get that straight in your mind. If you're a parent, know this. If you're sending your son off to some university somewhere, even if you get an apartment for them, they're not in the dorms, don't think they're going to be clean. All right? Not that they're not trying. No, they have the best of intentions. They're the purest son or daughter that you have. And usually they send less of their daughters. For boys, they think it's easier. I don't know why, but it's in a sense even more difficult. But they're not going to be the same person, trust me. So many people have talked to me. I've been in that environment as well. I know what it's like. Okay, it's not a clean one. It's not necessary to get ourselves involved with that. Okay, so if you think that it's not going to happen, you're absolutely wrong. Your little angel that left you when they did is no longer that little angel. They've gotten involved with things that you would never have wanted them. Hopefully you never wanted them to get involved with. But that's the consequence of it. You have these two options. Which one are you going to take? Well, when I look at the verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to some of the Jews that were breaking God's laws, based on what priorities they had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ. They are the people that sell their akhirah to get this dunya. They want to buy this dunya, the price they pay is akhirah. You want to do that, that's up to you. Allah is giving you the choice. And it is a choice that we're making. Even if we're going to have a little less education, are we going to be dying? Even if. Is it worth the sins that we commit? Is it worth being pushed away from the Ahlul Bayt? There's an interesting story. There's many of these stories. Now, I usually don't like to give too many of these, but it was very inspiring for myself. It's a good reminder. Allama Ja'fari, a great scholar, he studied in Najaf. They asked him about one of the experiences that he has had over there. Something that he can mention to us. He said, one very important experience that I had there was this. In the summers, it got really, really hot. I would not want to go to my room. It was so hot at times during the day, like in the at daytime, around noon, the room would get so hot, I would not even want to go there. At nighttime in the evening, we used to have gatherings together, and we used to, like, because in the summers they didn't have as many classes as in the winter season, in the fall and spring. So they would have time and they would use their time in other ways, try to have little bit, you know, of halal fun. They would get together and talk about different things. So there was this alim that had a humorous character, but through his humor, he brought people to realize certain things. He said that one night this scholar came into our circle after Maghrib at nighttime when we were sitting down, and there was a table between us, and he said he put a picture of a girl on the table. And he said, look, this is the most gorgeous girl around this area or in Iraq or something, a very well-known person. This is her picture. Okay. He said, take it, look at it. You have two options. One option, you're able to get married to her and spend the rest of your life with her. The other option, you avoid that, say, I don't want that, and I rather perform ziyarah of Amirul Mu'mineen. Two options. Which one are you going to choose? He said the principal of the school took the picture and looked at it. The principal's son was in the crowd. He looked at his son. He said, look, I want to say something. Don't tell your mom. Okay. As soon as he said that and cracked that little joke there, everybody knew what his take on that was. Okay. Second person looked at it, said, well, that's a difficult choice there. They're seeing her. It's not just this idea. And you look at that picture. Third person, fourth person, they said, they gave it to me. He said, I did not look at the picture. I just gave it to the next person and said, I don't sell ziyarah of Amirul Mu'mineen even once to anything. He said, after I passed it along, I started feeling a little, feeling something weird, like it was awkward. It wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable there. And I got up and for some reason I went to my room, which I didn't really have too much of a reason to go there. I went there and he said when I entered, Amir al-Mu'mineen does these things, believe me, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayh was Imamul Muttaqeen. If you make a deal with him, you will see his hand coming and helping you in this dunya. Believe me, brothers and sisters. Amir al-Mu'mineen does that. He is Imamul Muttaqeen. He'll come and take your hands. Youth especially, take this advice. There's so many of such experiences that people have had. He said, I went into the room and it seemed like a completely different setting. And I saw a man sitting there. I asked, who are you? He said, Ana Ali, I am Amirul Mu'mineen. Just the thought of seeing Amirul Mu'mineen, he wants to have that and he's willing to not even look. I don't care what it is. I don't even want to look at that. What are we giving up and what are we obtaining? Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha that she comes in, people cast their great gaze down. The Holy Prophet comes in, Amirul Mu'mineen comes in and they say, tell your Shia to come along, and their Shia go along and I am told to turn around and go the other way. Is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Is this education worth it? I really don't think so. That's one obstacle in the way of marriage. Another obstacle, brothers and sisters, that is mentioned is financial obstacles. A lot of the parents raise this issue. They say they have to be able to support themselves. Now, this is one of the reasons why they say that education is necessary, because to be able to support themselves. Now, a couple of things. First of all, let's be honest here. Supporting yourself doesn't require you not to get married. Okay, the ability to work, to become even a wealthy person, you don't have to go through that. Honestly, like forget about religion, let's put all of that aside. There are people, maybe a number of people, a good number of people, that either have not even had that university education. By the way, I'm not trying to put that down at all. Education is very good. I'm not trying to put it down. I'm saying, like, if you're in your mind, you can't work both of them together. Because I'm telling you, you can. And if you push it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You don't believe God? I will open doors. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Where you did not expect, He's going to provide that for you. Try it, push hard and you will get it. But I'm saying, hypothetically, if you can't work those two together, all right, try to pursue both. But if you can't, is it really necessary? So many people have not had that education and they're much better off with their business and the amount of money that they're making. So many people got that education, what they're working is completely different. How many of those who got education are actually working in their field? And how many of them aren't there? How many of them have chosen a different field to work in? They're making loads more money in the different, in the other field. Okay. It's not something that is no way out of. But back to the financial issue. They say this, you know, my son has got to be able to support himself. He can't support himself. There's a couple of things. One, I'm trying to summarize here. We're getting too close to Adhan time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur verses 32 and 33, He talks about the financial dimension. Let's try to understand this correctly. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم. Get all those single people married, all of them. Whoever is single, get them all married. And also, if they're not ayama, if they are slaves, الصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم, the slaves need to get married as well. إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله. If they are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide them with sustenance. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Don't ever think like the Jews did, that يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ, the hands of God are tied down. بَلْ يَدَهُمْ أَبْسُوتَتَانٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, their hands are tied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands are open. He can do whatever He wishes. If they are فُقَرَاء, if they can't support themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to support them. He's going to help them out. Then it says, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. But if you don't find a nikah, if you don't find a marriage, Allah subhanahu, you're supposed to have عِفَاف, you're supposed to avoid sin and be patient in a sense until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with the means, يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهِ, in other words, financial means. So in other words, financial means are not there. If you don't have the financial means, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them for you. And during that time, you need to be patient. Okay, what are we supposed to take here? In يَكُونُ فُقَرَاء يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Then it says, if you don't have it, wait. So what are we supposed to do here? What that means is, if someone is not able to support themselves, in what sense? In the sense that they can't get a job, they don't have any money right now, there's no means that can support them, including parents. Let me make this very short, but very important point. The first verse said, أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. You know how many rewards are there for people helping out and making it possible for a couple to get married? As a parent, if you help support that child, for a lot of us it is possible. While they're studying, you want to help them have an education as well. You want to provide them with a little bit of funds to be able to have a small little apartment, start their life. Yeah, they can find a job, they can support themselves, but I want to help them out. You know how many rewards that has? Saving a couple from sin, helping them spiritually, helping them establish a family at that age, that since they haven't committed sins, the family that they will have, the children that are produced, are going to be much, much, much more healthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much rewards to that. But back to the point here, if they cannot support themselves at all, in other words, مُفْلِس فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, nothing, no parents that can support, they don't have any other person that can support, they can't find a job. This usually happened back in the days. If we're living out here, it's pretty rare to find a situation where someone cannot support themselves at all. And the ages that we're talking about here are around 18, a little before, a little after, okay, and onwards. People are usually capable of having some level of support. What the second part is saying is that if there's no way for you to support, just not possible. It requires dowry. How much time do we have before Maghrib?
Minus one.
Minus one?
No, two, 3 minutes.
2, 3 minutes? 7 minutes? Can we get this straight? 5 minutes?
Okay. It's time for Adhan.
It is time for Adhan right now? What is that?
8:23.
Well, it's 8:21 according to mine. I got a couple of minutes. Recite a salawat. Let me summarize this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if there's absolutely no way to support yourself, then that's when you're going to have to be patient, because you don't have any other option. But you don't have any other option. If you have another option, even if it's finding a job, then you have an option. That is not an obstacle. Yes, look, one of the responsibilities that comes on the shoulder of the individual in marriage for the brothers is financial support. Two areas there, and I'm going to make this very short as much as I can. One area is financial support in the sense of paying for the needs of the family, housing, clothes, food, and so on and so forth. That responsibility is there. Another financial responsibility is dowry. I want to make this a very, very short point, because this is my last night and I wanted to say this, we're running short of time. Dowry, brothers and sisters, is mahr, sadaq, is a financial responsibility. It's not something there just in the contract. As a Iranian said, ki dade ki gerefte, who has taken and who has given. A lot of people are paying for it because they put 1,000 gold coins as their dowry. These ridiculous figures that have been given for dowry are completely un-Islamic. There's plenty of hadith from the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt that says, the worst women of the Ummah are which? Are the ones that have large dowries and mahr. They are considered the worst. And the best women are those who are أَقَلُّهُنَّ مَهْرًا, that have the least. Don't think that this is going to be kind of a safeguard to keep the guy involved in marriage, to keep the guy there and make sure he doesn't divorce your daughter. That's not the idea behind mahr. If the guy wants to divorce your daughter, he'll do something to her that she would be pleading, please take my mahr plus more, I don't want to be with you. Dowry is necessary, however, it's got to be reasonable. It is a responsibility that has to be paid. One of the things that we have in the hadith in regarding to this verse is, if you don't have money to pay as your dowry, it's supposed to be paid up front or the first few days. Now, you don't have to, it's not a necessity to do that, but it's supposed to be a figure that's payable, not something that you work your tail off in 50 years maybe. Seriously, that's not supposed to happen there. Financial responsibility is there, but brothers and sisters, people can support themselves, all right? They can support themselves, they have that ability. If we don't want them to work right now because of education, that doesn't mean we should prevent them from marriage. We should support them ourselves. One last point that I'll just give this idea before we finish is that there is one obstacle that is serious. It is a legitimate obstacle. It is something to work on. And that is responsibility. Okay. Look, we raise our kids as kids. Even sometimes they're in their 20s, they're still children. Because we haven't given them responsibility. And yeah, if you have that boy at 18 or 19, it's still a boy, all right? And they're not responsible. They get involved with marriage, next thing you know, they have loads of problems like, forget this, divorce. It's out of irresponsibility. Look, marriage is tons and tons of responsibility. If a person does not have enough responsibility, enough feeling and character of responsibility in them, then they're not ready for marriage. This is one of those legitimate obstacles that doesn't allow us to have our children married at ages 9 or 10. This is a legitimate one. Because in the current setting, 9 years for most people is not something they can have the responsibilities. Okay. But the point that I want to say is like, look, give your children that responsibility. For the youth, if you're looking for marriage, if you feel that need, if you feel the shari responsibility for marriage, it's wajib on you, you need to know that that's a lot of responsibility. It's not just having fun. It's not just taking care of a desire. It is tons of responsibility. You need to think and make sure you come to terms with that and you feel that responsibility. And for parents, please raise your kids with responsibility. If your child is 18 and is still a child, they're playing video games, they're not serious about their studies, they're not serious about helping out in the house, you have to push them to go put the trash outside and so on and so forth to clean up their room and anything like that, then I'm sorry, you have failed to raise them as responsible people, because 18 is too late. They're supposed to be responsible at 15 or even younger. Okay, try to raise them with responsibility. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt and this noble month, that He enables us to understand His religion, His teachings more, and to be able to implement them. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. If I said anything that has offended anyone or anything that I've done to anyone, please forgive me. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, inshallah, and to bless all the people of the world, especially the believers, and remove all the hardship from them, especially the people of Somalia, inshallah. Bin Nabiya wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara al-fatiha ma'as salawat.